he's pretty easy to find. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few of the ways that you can learn about how we are church together here at GPC is to check out your bulletin. There are announcements about worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. A few announcements. Thank you all for remembering that the Lenten Wall of Food is going on. Facebook does make a difference. So I'm glad you saw that post. And remember, each time you come to church, bring in some non-perishable foods and let's see how large we can make that wall. And if you are looking for some good Jamaican food, some good Jamaican company, have I got an opportunity for you. On Saturday, the 14th, that's in just a week, a group of us will be heading up to SOTUS to work with rural and migrant ministries to serve a Jamaican meal to the Jamaican and Haitian farm workers who are working there in the area. So we'll also be playing some dominoes and enjoying fellowship time together. If you're interested, we'll be leaving from the parking lot here at GPC at 4:30. Please let me know if you are coming so that we can work out some of the transportation with that. All right. Another note about worship this morning. If you weren't here last week and you noticed a dove fell out of your bulletin. Those doves are prayer doves. If you would please write a prayer request that you have. And here by the cross, we would ask that you place a prayer and then take a prayer with you and be in prayer with that prayer request all week. You may place your doves on the tree during the passing of the peace or following worship. But we'll also be continuing this connecting together in the wilderness prayer practice through Lent. A few other announcements this morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. You might be thinking you've read in your Harbinger and bulletins about end-of-life issues and thinking, is the Spiritual Journey Committee team out of their minds, especially during this long winter, you know, and Lent and wilderness and brr. But wait, I can't think of a more caring, supportive environment with leaders from our church and local community to come to listen, ask questions, and have a conversation if you wish. With these end-of-life issues and learning how we can be moved by the Holy Spirit so we can be better prepared to face these end-of-life issues. So today we are going to have the first leg of our end-of-life issues at 1 p.m. till 2:30 in the adult lounge, and there's sign up as you exit into the narthex. If you still want to come, we have room. We would love to have you. And next week, we are also talking about death and grieving, and we have a wonderful expert, as well as Bridget, to talk about palliative care, hospice, what is grief, how is grief unique, and then a follow-up on April 12th. So we invite all of you to come and share in a supportive community things that we might not be so inclined to think about ahead of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie.
Some announcements for youth group. Tonight, we have senior high youth group from 6 to 8. We're going to go to Spot Coffee and get a chance to share stories about Jamaica from the people who just came back and also get to hang out together and talk. Then next week, the junior highs are going to go to Glow Golf. So bring $8 and wear some really crazy clothes that'll glow under the black lights. See you then.
friends, now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Please stand if you are able and join me responsively in the call to worship. As all creation sings praises to God,
today we lift our voices to join the choir.
We sing of the joy of being loved by our God. We give thanks that we have a place in God's realm.
The same God who made the stars calls us by name into new life. Let us be grateful for God's gifts to us.
Oh,
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Creator God, we think we know what you want, and we try our best to follow the rules. But often, we get obsessed with our own desire to feel superior. We like to believe we can earn or even buy our way into your kingdom. We confess that we are easily distracted by small concerns instead of focusing on your grace. We like things the way they are and pray for your forgiveness when the status quo keeps some away from you, even as it benefits us. Drive out from among us all that stands in the way of seeing you and following your path. Turn over the tables in our hearts, minds, and churches, and make room for your grace to dwell. Let us now silently pray our prayers of confession.
God's presence moves in and through us in all our many locations in the wilderness, blowing and moving through us and connecting us together and to God. And as signs of that movement of the Spirit, we share signs of Christ's peace with one another. Please stand as you are comfortable and able and share signs of Christ's peace with one another.
Join me up front. Everybody up here? I've got a question for you all today. Come on in. I want to know what the most important thing in this church is, and I think I've got it figured out. Pretty sure it's that tree. What do you think? No. All right. Is it my shoes? Because they're pretty fancy. All right, what do you think? Take a look. No. Really? I like these shoes. No, wait. All right, this time I'm going to get it. It is those windows. No. Okay, fine. What's the most important thing? What do you think? The cross. Oh, I like that one. Yeah, what do you think? The cross? Yeah? What? The cross? Okay, we're certain on that. What do you think? Where people get baptized. Ooh, good answer. Yeah. Those are all really important things in our church.
I have bath toys.
You have bath toys and you've been baptized, right? Maybe. Okay. We have all kinds of things like the cross and the baptismal font that remind us of Jesus. And no matter where we go, when we're church, the most important part is loving Jesus and loving each other, right? You guys are pretty good at loving each other, right? And helping each other out? Look at that hug. You totally got this. All right. So even at church, when we have lots of pretty things to look at, we have to remember the most important part is loving Jesus and loving each other. Sound okay?
Banana bread.
Also important. That's true, too. All right. Let's go ahead and pray together, okay? You ready to pray? All right, let's pray nice and loud. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Help us to love Jesus and remember him. Amen. Okay, time to go to Sunday school. And banana bread.
The first reading of the word is from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 9. To the leader, a psalm of David. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs its course with joy, its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Second reading of the word is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. So now for the word of God. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Friends, this is God's word here for us today. Does anybody remember those WWJD bracelets from a few years back? When I was in youth group growing up, they were ridiculously popular. People had WWJD bracelets in all kinds of different colors. There was WWJD bumper stickers and fridge magnets, all asking, "What would Jesus do?" There were even parody bumper stickers asking things like, "What would Batman do?" Or, "What would MacGyver do?" Each bracelet or poster was supposed to be a gentle reminder for Christians that in all things, we were supposed to act like Jesus. When we got cut off in traffic or our computer crashed again, we were supposed to stay calm. We're supposed to act like Jesus, to turn the other cheek, to not cast the first stone, to treat others as we would like to be treated. Except, in today's Bible passage, "What would Jesus do" includes screaming a lot, running around in a crowd, and flipping some tables. The next time you're feeling grouchy and trying to remember what would Jesus do, remember you have options. That's what makes this passage so completely odd. Jesus, usually, didn't react with violence to anything in his life, much less in a sacred house of worship. I think we've all been stuck in an airport or in line at the store and thought about flipping some tables, but this doesn't seem like regular Jesus behavior. Why would Jesus get so upset, the week of Passover, in the temple. Jesus loved the temple. Today, there are plenty of different places for us to worship God, all over the country. Our church is our faith home, of course, but it's not the only place that we can worship. Most of us have been to services at another church before and gotten to share our faith with a different group of people. But this temple, with a capital T, is the only official place to give offerings to God. This temple is the same place where Jesus was dedicated as a baby. It's where he came to celebrate Passover with his parents as a child, just like he's preparing for Passover now. When Jesus was a child, he loved the temple so much that he would not leave. His parents had to come back days after Passover to get Jesus because he refused to stop learning. We learn in Luke 2 that Jesus stayed in the temple for days when he was younger, reading scriptures and talking about God. Back then, he told Joseph and Mary that the temple was his father's house, and it took a lot of work to get him back home. So what's changed? Why would Jesus get so angry in his father's house? In today's passage, Jesus isn't a child anymore. Instead, he comes back to the temple as an adult, and he sees things differently. Now the temple is packed with people who all want to come sacrifice animals for Passover. Hundreds and thousands of Jews are there, trying to do the right thing to respect God. They've traveled all across the country to come together and give offerings. They've saved up to buy specially inspected, high-quality animals because they only want to give the very best to God. They're even changing their Roman money into unmarked coins so that no offering in the temple will have a heathen Caesar's face on it. These people are doing their best to follow all the right rules to honor God. They're trying their hardest to make God happy by going through the proper steps. And as far as they're concerned, everything's great until Jesus gets there. But Jesus sees things differently. He sees that the temple could be a place only focused on God, and instead people are busy buying and selling. He sees that the people around him are worried about keeping up appearances and doing worship the way it's always been done, instead of thinking about why they're worshiping God to begin with. When Jesus came to the temple as a child, he didn't have to worry about sacrifices like his parents. He got to spend all of his time learning about God and community with others. But he's been away from the temple for a while. And when he comes back, he sees with new eyes. Now Jesus has been out talking about God without following the same traditions. He's been healing people and praising God completely separately from the temple. Like a lot of people, Jesus has grown up, and the places around him have stayed the same. Have you ever had a moment like that? Maybe at a school reunion or going back to your hometown? There's just some places that seem so perfect and huge and grand when you first go there, and then years later they look smaller. My old elementary school had a slide that was taller than me, and as I grew, it shrank somehow. The playground felt smaller, but I know I'm the one who got bigger. Going back to where I grew up, I notice things differently. I see the litter around the playground and notice how children now like the new equipment a lot better. Sometimes when you get away from a place for a while, you see it with a new perspective. Jesus had left the temple and traveled around the country, meeting new people who loved God. When he came back, he saw problems in the place he truly loved as a child. The temple was God's house, where people could gather and connect to God more than they could anywhere else. But that's not what Jesus sees when he looks around. He sees animals everywhere in cages, waiting to be sold. He hears the clink of coins changing hands, and the smell of all that livestock must be awful. Jesus can remember how wonderful the temple was before. And here are all these people, all still worried about going through the motions of worship. Everyone's there for the yearly celebration, and some of them are there to worship God because they truly love God. Some of them are there out of greed, to make profit from the faithful. Some of them are there out of habit to do what they're used to doing every year. And Jesus can't accept that this holy place looks anything like a store or another place where people do what matters and don't really think about why they're doing it. So he snaps. Jesus gets angry. He yells and chases people and scolds them for making his Father's house, God's house, into a marketplace. The people must have been terrified. They must have been angry, too. How dare Jesus stop them from worshiping God? How dare he stop them from obeying God the way they've always done it before? But Jesus isn't concerned about what the people are doing. He's worried about why. The temple is supposed to be a place for people to connect to God, to come with their families and to give offerings, to give up food that will feed other people. They're supposed to be there to pray and worship together. But the crowd buying and selling doesn't look like they're connecting to God at all, much less each other or the hungry. Instead, they're showing off wealth, or they're arguing for a better bargain. They're gossiping about who's changed the most since last holiday, or who can't afford a big sacrifice this year. And it makes Jesus angry for good reason. The temple is supposed to be the most sacred place in Israel, but it's not the building that makes some place sacred. It's the people within it. And the people around Jesus, some of them have forgotten what really matters in their worship. It's easier for them to worry about going through the motions of worshiping God instead of having to focus on living as the children of God. It would be a nice, easy sermon to say that the ancient people didn't understand God, but now we do, and everything's great. But besides the obvious problems that come with insulting someone else's religion, that would be missing the point. We don't sacrifice animals to God anymore, but we still have plenty of actions that become habit instead of devotion. We can act out of inertia instead of love, or treat a church building with more respect than the people inside of it. We can live out our faith so it doesn't upset anybody, so it's nice, instead of knowing that it's okay to get angry if there's injustice in the world. Jesus wasn't nice in the temple, but he was honest, and he spoke truth to the people who needed to hear it most. He didn't back down when he saw that greed was becoming more important than worship, and he wasn't afraid to call people out when they were obsessed with material goods instead of their connection to God. There are plenty of times when we waste our time obsessing over the things that don't matter instead of connecting to the people around us who really do. We worry about what to wear to church instead of who we're going to meet there. We get bogged down with chores to do in our everyday lives, get distracted from God's still, small voice calling out to us. It seems like time is marching on and there's always something else to do when we could really just stop and listen to God's word. We spend time obsessing over the future when we could be busy focusing on all the joys in our present. We all lose focus sometimes. It's easy. But we can think and reconnect to what really matters. I invite you to look at your life with new eyes this week. See the places where you act out of habit and ask yourself what really matters in your daily life. Spend time connecting to the people you love and caring for people in need. Take care of yourself. Remember that you matter just as much as God's other children and that you're just as worthy of love. And then come back to church next week and pretend like you haven't been here in years. Or bring someone who hasn't been here in years and they won't have to pretend. Look around the church. See what fits who we are today and what brings us closer to God and each other. See what is ready to change and to help us become newly devoted as one church right here and now. Remember what really matters here together and get ready to celebrate Jesus' powerful love for all of us. Think about what a new visitor might see here at Gates Presbyterian. How do we show what matters to us? What do we really value the most? What do you see when you come into the church? What does that teach us about how to be Christians together? One of the things I love about Lent is the instant that people walk in, there is either a greeter or there is a wall of food. set out there to feed the people who are hungry in our community. I love that reminder of what we're here for, to reach out and help others, to have someone who greets us with a smile, knows us by name, and to be here taking care of each other. But Lent isn't the only time, of course, that we're here to help others. Whether we're new visitors or we've grown up in this church, we worship here because something about this church matters to us. Maybe for you it's the people, the ones who helped you understand God and who you share your faith with today. Maybe it's the music and the prayers that help us connect in praise and worship. But no matter what brings us here, we're all connected by Jesus Christ, a man who loves us so much that he lived and died for us, and who loved God so much he was willing to make a scene just to get people to refocus their lives. Let us all be startled out of our habits and into a new connection with the God who loves us and the people who matter to us. Amen. We come together here and we confess the faith that connects us all. So let us recite together section 2 of the Brief Statement of Faith. It's on page 37 in your hymnals. Let us read together. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and released the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life.
Thank you.
Little did Katie know, in the midst of talking about what matters here to GPC, that the sound of that bell does. And once a year during the time change, we actually really get to hear it in here. So what a joy. Thank you. And we also gather our prayers of joy and concern. We raise all of those prayers in community, both here in this place and together throughout the week. If you have a prayer concern, you may share by raising your hand, an usher will be around.
Hi, Dan Cherko. I ask for prayers for a dear friend of mine, Joey Dispenses, whose barbershop is right here in Westmar Plaza. He's beginning his battle with a serious illness.
Prayers for him. Any other prayers this morning? I have one written prayer request from Andrea that her friend Ralph needed to go back to the hospital and have further surgery, so prayers are appreciated. And also for a friend of hers, Renee, whose mother went in for hip surgery and had some complications. So prayers for her.
Kathy Wakeman, just a prayer of thanks. My dad, who's going to be 90 in May, had some speech difficulties, and we weren't able to read his writing. Anyway, we took him to the ER, and after many tests, we were grateful that he hadn't had a stroke, and he just had a reaction to a medicine. So giving thanks for that.
Prayers of thanksgiving with you, Kathy. And we also have the prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for Grandma's visiting and for successful dance routines and all the spring sports that our kids are looking forward to, and so are we, soccer and baseball. Prayers of joy for birthday parties, and also prayers of remembering. Some of our children are remembering their pets that they have loved and lost, so prayers for them. And also prayers for joy of gathering together for spaghetti dinner with the Boy Scouts last night, and prayers for all the many activities our children are involved in, and they ask for your prayers of support. So let us join our hearts together in prayer. Lord of hope and justice, we have come this day to worship with so many concerns that are on our hearts and weighing down our spirits. We feel the bands of the world's claims on us tightening around our hearts, suffocating our spirits and driving our thoughts and actions. We feel the disconnection in the wilderness of what the world tells us matters and the grace that you offer. Your Son Jesus taught us to be bold in our faith, to clear out the pain and greed and fear, and have confidence in your all-sustaining love that goes with us no matter where we are. Through the crucified one Christ, the power of God and the wisdom that you, O God, have raised in all of those whom have died and into your eternal light, we remember this morning those for whom we've lost. We ask for your healing grace to surround Ken Birkbeck and his family in the death of Ken's father. We ask for prayers for the family of Alex Turnquist, the Spencerport High School student who died from brain cancer this week, for his family and the Spencerport community. The heavens declare your glory, O Creator, and we bring to you our grateful praise and thanksgiving. We give thanks for all those who marched 50 years ago in Selma, Alabama, and who have given the courage to so many to stand up to racism and hatred wherever they faced it in their lives and community. And God, we continue to hold in prayer all those who work to turn over the tables of injustice and hatred, whether based on the color of a person's skin, their religion, or class, their sexual or gender identity. This day, patient and loving Lord, enable us to look into our lives at whatever keeps us from experiencing and sharing what matters most, your love and grace. Free us to serve you, and in our serving you, help us to discover the joy of discipleship. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we gather in prayer, we also gather in response with thanksgiving for the blessings that God has shared with us. And let us celebrate those blessings now as we receive this morning's offering.
Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts you have given us. Please accept a portion of these gifts back to help connect with the needs of all your people. Amen.
Thank you.
Love God and serve your neighbor. Hold tight to what truly matters. Remember that no matter where you go, the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer is with you every step of the way. Amen.